You're listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow, speaking at Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Yeah. Pretty exciting. Well, why am I up here and not Pastor Kent? I have been under this guy's teaching since I was 14 years old. I'm now 42 years old. What a blessing and what an honor it is to be able to teach you guys now, having that great of a teacher that I've been under. It is a blessing. So, what qualifies me to teach on Mother's Day, okay? I'm the son of a mom. I don't know if that qualifies me more than any of you. I happen to be married to a mom, and we have been blessed with three beautiful children. We have five children. Only three are beautiful. The other two, no, I'm kidding. Some people are like, what? That's a bad joke for Mother's Day, right? But those of you who know me know I love kids, and I absolutely have a deep, deep appreciation for moms. In fact, I actually think that it is the hardest job in the world. I've experienced it personally because I've been the substitute before. I came across a story I thought you guys would enjoy. A man came home from work and found his three children outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house, and there was no sign of the dog. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring a cartoon channel, and the family room was covered with toys of various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilled on the counter, the fridge door was open wide, and dog food was spilled on the floor. He quickly headed upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or that something more serious had happened. He was met with a small trickle of water as it made its way out the bathroom door. As he peered inside, he found wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys strewn over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste had been smeared over the mirror and walls. As he rushed to the bedroom, he found his wife still curled up in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her bewildered and asked, "What happened here?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world I do all day?" "Yes," was his reply. "Well, today I didn't do it." Right? This is really a mom. I mean, she has a hard job. In fact, I the first time I had to watch my three kids by myself, my wife went away for a few days. Man, I was ready to hire a personal assistant. My whole job was literally walking behind him, picking stuff up, telling him where to go. Man, it was hard. You know, and I hate when somebody asks the question, "Are you a working mom?" What kind of question is that? Yeah, you should say, "Do you have two jobs?" Right? So today what I want to speak to you about is the fact that you are not alone. That's the title of the message. So who is this for? Who is this sermon for? Everybody right now, just with me, take a deep breath in. Now deep breath out. Were you able to do that? Okay, this message is for you. All right, everybody that's able, this message is for everybody. Okay, you are not alone. But there's some specific groups of people that have been on my heart because it is Mother's Day weekend. And the first is this. Maybe you're a mom and maybe you never had a husband. Maybe your husband left early on in life and you've kind of had to go at it alone, raising kids. And you felt that pressure throughout your life. And there's probably been many times in your life where you felt alone. Well, I want to tell you, you are not alone. And maybe you're a mom, and maybe you happen to be the spiritual leader of your household, and you felt that pressure. Maybe your husband is not in line with your value system. Maybe your husband is not a Christian. And maybe you felt that pressure, that I have to be the spiritual household of my family. And you've had to raise your kids with godly values, and that has made you feel alone. I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. And maybe you're a mom in the category that you've been blessed with a godly husband. I would like to think that my wife would say, yeah, I'm blessed with a godly husband, one that is active in helping me raise our kids. But my wife, many times, I mean, there's specific roles that moms fill that dads just can't fill. And there's been times in our lives that my wife has felt alone. There's feeding time when there's an infant. My wife's been in the other room and the baby's crying all night, and maybe I'm away at a business trip, or more likely sleeping in the other room. You know, I basically for a year was sick and really couldn't help a lot with the raising of our kids for that year. It was a really tough time for my wife, and there was many times that she felt alone. If you're in that category, maybe you've had a rebellious kid and you've done everything the way God wanted you to do, but that kid just went astray. I want to tell you that you also are not alone. And then lastly, sometimes Mother's Day brings up painful memories for you. Maybe you never really had a mom invest in your life. Or maybe you had a great mom, and she's since passed on. And Mother's Day and these kind of holidays and celebrations can be a painful time for you. And I'm here to tell you that you are also not alone. And I don't mean alone in the sense that, hey, there's other people in your situation. I mean the fact that you have access to the God of the universe. Let's look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. What a great picture. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much that you love us. And Lord, my goal here today is that, number one, you would be glorified through this message, Father, but also that moms everywhere hearing this message would be honored today. And then lastly, that everyone would know that if they trust in you, that they will never be alone. And so, Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be here. I ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive a message from your word today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was married about 5 years. I had two beautiful twins, and I found myself divorced when they were 11 months old, and I've been a single mom ever since. I made that decision to stay single. I made a vow with God to make my priority the children, to raise them in a, you know, God-loving home, and to walk with God. That was most important to me. Things were very rough financially, very rough emotionally. I didn't have a job, didn't really have a car, had no money. And there were times when financially we were not making it. And the Lord was so gracious and kind. And on one event, there was a knock on the door, and my son was young, and he always wanted to run to the door. And I said, well, wait, let me check, you know, and I opened the door, and there was a big box of food out in the front and no one there. And Ryan just innocently looks up and says, "Oh, God came by, Mom." I said, "You're absolutely right. God came by." And from his little point of view, it helped me see God in a different way also then, that he would provide no matter what. And it didn't matter where it came from. It was always from him. So I knew that we would make it. The Lord is ever so gracious. When he wants to spend time with you, he'll make a way. And there was one specific time where I really needed to talk to someone. I called everyone in my phone book. No one was available. And you know, you hear that still small voice that says, "I'm right here. I want to talk to you. I want to be with you." And from then on, and that was all those were learning lessons in the early years. And from then on, I just knew that I was not alone. If I didn't have a body, if I didn't have a person to hang out with, I had my God. And there are times when you're a mother, just the children are going crazy. The house is a mess. Their dinner's burnt and everything's a disaster. And God just reaches down and just says, "I just love you. And you're doing such a great job. Just love the children that I have blessed you with. And you are doing such a great job." The hardest thing I did when the children were little was walk into church alone. That first day was the hardest thing I ever did. I put my purse down and nobody could sit there. And my son called me out at one time and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm sitting in church." And he said, "No, you're not letting anybody sit next to you." I said, "Well, honey, that's the way I am. I want it that way." And he goes, "No, that's not the way God wants it." So from a child's perspective, I wasn't letting anybody in. And he was absolutely right. And we need to let others in. We need that fellowship time. We need that accountability to help us to grow. You know, the Lord tells us we need fellowship. We need to go to each other and lay our burdens down with them too. There are so many great people out there who are willing to help you through this time. To know that if you stay faithful and you stay in the Word and you stay in fellowship and you keep going and don't turn to other things to fulfill that need, only the Lord can fulfill that need, and he will provide all the things that you need above that. I can't even tell you a greater husband, a greater provider, and a greater father. I never thought I would ever experience all of this in my life, and I wouldn't change anything. Just knowing that the Lord is always there and I can always have a partner, whether anyone sees them or not, it doesn't matter to me. He's always there.
Wow, what an awesome testimony. I've had the privilege of having those twins in my high school group when I was a youth pastor here, and what a blessing they are to see what they've done and what God's done in their life and how they've blessed their mom because she chose to trust in God. She chose to not be alone. And so today I want to give you some practical steps. In fact, three ways that God ensures that we will never be alone. And the first is this, and it's A1, number one priority. It absolutely should be number one on your list, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on this. And we say the person of Jesus Christ because it's not a worldview, it's not a philosophy, and it's not even a religion. In fact, people often, they kind of are taken back sometimes when I tell them, "Yeah, I don't really like religion." "Don't you work at a church?" "Yeah, I don't really like religion." Because religion is really man's attempt to reach God. But here, this is a relationship. God has created us for a relationship. In fact, when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, we make a commitment to him as our Lord and Savior. But we actually receive his Spirit as our comforter and the one who empowers us. And so we're making that commitment to Jesus Christ, and he sends his Spirit to be with us always. And so we will never be alone for those that trust in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8:9. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." If you want to ensure that you will never, ever be alone, then you must put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ. There was a guy I read about years ago. He founded this organization called Voice of the Martyrs. His name was Richard Wurmbrand, amazing guy. Been in and out of jail his whole life due to spreading the gospel. He had a passion to see people saved. He was in Romania years and years ago. I believe this was actually in the 50s, early 60s. And it was communist Romania, and he was preaching the gospel. And they caught him, and they put him in solitary confinement. They put him in this little prison cell with no windows and no sunlight. In fact, it was 12 feet under the prison. He had absolutely no contact with a human being for 3 years. The prison guards actually wore felt on their shoes as further torture as they would walk above 12 feet above the prison cell, so they would not even hear another human being for 3 years. Well, he was released out of that prison term, and he ended up writing a series of books, and one of the books that he wrote was titled With God in Solitary Confinement. Absolutely incredible. He used to stay up all night and just give sermons in his cell. See, he trusted. He was never alone because he trusted in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ was with him. And if our definition of loneliness, I mean, I think that's the best visual definition we could ever give on being alone, is being in solitary confinement without human contact or even hearing a human for 3 years. If you never want to be alone, then you must first put your trust in Jesus Christ. So what's the application? Ask Jesus to be your Lord today. Some of you have never done that. See, quickly, our problem is sin. And because of sin, we were separated from that relationship that God the Father wanted to have with us, that He created us for in the beginning. And so He had to send His Son on a rescue mission to save us. And the Bible says if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, to as many as received Him, who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. We can have that relationship restored. And as we think of Richard Wurmbrand in that little cell, it really changed what I really thought about this next verse. And it's in Revelation 3:20. And as you read this, I want you to picture him in that solitary confinement, or even better, yourself. Here I am, this is Jesus speaking. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Can you imagine? See, God sees us, and when we're separated from Him, we are in confinement apart from God. And can you imagine if you were in solitary confinement and somebody knocked on the door and it says, if you hear my voice, meaning that He's actually calling out, it's Jesus, let me in. And anyone who opens the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with him and I will be with him or her forever. Please, if you've never done this, do not put it off. Ask Jesus to be your Lord today. So first, it's through the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's through the people of Christ. Ecclesiastes 4, the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And then he says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. God has not only given us his son, Jesus Christ, and yeah, there are times like in Richard Wurmbrand's life where we're completely apart from people. There could be times like that. But to us, he's made available the people of Christ, and here we are, the body of Christ. We need to encourage and love on each other. In Proverbs 18:1, he also says this. This is Solomon again. He says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." You know what that means? He breaks out against all sound judgment. What he's saying there? He's like, if you don't take advantage of the people that are around you and the body of believers here, you're crazy. If you try to isolate yourself, he says, you're not going to be able to go at it alone. You know, my son, Levi, last year, he was 9 years old, and we have a two-story house, and down below at nighttime, you know, we go upstairs and everybody gets ready for bed. If he gets hungry, he's got to go downstairs. If he wants a drink of water, he goes downstairs to get a drink of water. But, of course, it's pitch black downstairs, right, at nighttime. And last year, he would say, "Hey, mommy, will you go downstairs with me?" Why, Levi? No reason, just thought you could take a walk with me downstairs. Huh? And then this is the funny thing, he would ask Dad, and we knew what he was getting at, we knew he was scared, so we're trying to get him over his fear. Just go down there, you know, we have an alarm on our house, I mean, it's a fortress. You go down and get something, you know? But then he'd ask our 1.5, I think he was almost 2-year-old son, Jed, come downstairs with me. And I'm thinking, what's he gonna do? You're scared of something down there, the 2-year-old? But here's the thing, is that isn't it great to have somebody with you even if they can't help out? Isn't it great to know that somebody's there? You know, sometimes we have God-sized jobs in our life, but it's always neat to know that somebody loves us and cares about it, even if they don't have the solution. And that's what God provides us. So how do we apply this? Well, we need to be a part of the community of believers God has provided. And where's that? Where's that? Right here, right? So the number one thing is join a team. Join a team. This is super important. I don't know. You guys probably don't know how many calls we get into the office with so many different needs. You know, can I speak to a pastor? Can I? And you know what? One of the first questions we ask is, are you in a team? And more often than not, it's when they call in because they're not getting, you know, that encouragement and that love. And we want to help everybody. I just have a heart that I just want to help everybody. I really want to invest in people's lives, but let's be honest, I can't invest in 2,000 people's lives, and neither can Pastor Kent. And so please understand, we do not have any ulterior motive to get you in teams, other than that we want you to be cared for and ministered to and encouraged. And this church is trying to do the best they can to obey this verse right here. And it's Hebrews 10:25, and it says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Join a team. Have that encouragement. I was talking to one of my team members yesterday, and we just encourage each other. And when I got off the phone call, I was encouraged, and he was encouraged, and I'll send a text to one of my buddies and say, "Pray for me. I'm giving a sermon," or, you know, "I'm having a rough day." And it is such a blessing to have that community. Also, we need to find somebody to pray with consistently. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Man, it is so awesome. It is the best encouragement that you could possibly have to have somebody praying for you. Pastor Kent and I will be constantly praying for each other and texting each other and saying, "I'm praying for you." And you don't know how much that lifts your spirits until you actually receive it from the other end. Please. And this is not just about asking people to pray for you, but it's about praying for them because, you know, God wants us to be outward focused. You know, I'm going to brag on my mom a little bit because she is always praying for other people. I have been blessed with such an awesome mom. In fact, I'll be driving in the car with her. We'll be driving down the street, and she's always praying for people just out loud, you know? And you'll see a fire engine go by, and oh, Jesus, we just pray for the person. That wherever they're going, we just pray for them. We don't pray that they know Jesus. And you know, she's, and I'm thinking, Mom, they don't even have their siren on. Whoever they're going back to the fire station or something. Well, they need Jesus too, you know? It's like, it's constant prayer. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants to be in a relationship where we can pray and encourage one another. And so we have the person of Jesus Christ. We have the people of Jesus Christ. And finally, the promises of Christ. Psalm 119:50, the psalmist says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." You see, the promises of Christ are what we use to remind us that God is with us. Those verses that Pastor Kent gives us to remember, those verses that we're supposed to memorize, but maybe we're not, those are given to us because it reminds us that God is with us and that God loves us. And when we're going through a hard time, or maybe a time of loneliness, or maybe a time where we feel alone, we know that God is there. One of my favorite verses of all time, Romans 8. Talk about a promise. "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep." They're in a time of great persecution. "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." And then this verse, I want you to meditate on this for a second. "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell cannot separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus." The promises of God. They are the key to reminding us that God is with us. You know, as I was growing up, I was an only child, and I had an incredible mom. She's actually sitting right here. I love her so much. I love you, Mom. And you know, now that I have kids, I know how painful certain things can be. And there were many times in my life, I had a lot of health problems growing up, and there were many times in my life where it was touch and go, and my mom didn't know if she was going to have her only child. And the pain that she, you know, had to go through, I mean, I get fearful and worried sometimes at night. I can't sleep when my kid's coughing in the other room because he has a bad cold, you know, my toddler. And to imagine what she went through. And last week, I was cleaning out one of my drawers next to my bed. And I found this paper. And I don't know how it got there, but it was about 10 pages. It was printed in that old, like, dot matrix printer. You know, kind of shows my age. And it was about 10 pages of just Bible verses on it. And I thought, this must be when I was in the hospital all those years ago. And I look on the front page, and in my mom's handwriting, it just says this: "This is just what I needed." It's the promises of God. It is what got her through. Because there were times when, I have a great dad, man, but the doctors couldn't help me, and my dad couldn't help. And she had to fully trust in God. And I am who I am today because my mom trusted God. And she has really given me a great faith in the Lord. And that's been a blessing. So I want to tell you that you are not alone. For moms, I hope you feel honored. I hope that you take this message, and I know there's times when, you know, as men, we don't understand you and your kids don't understand you, and there's times when you feel like, you know, you want to pull out your hair. But know that we love you and we respect you. And know that you are not alone. And for the rest of us, including moms, my encouragement for you today is that you would ask Jesus Christ to fill your heart, to fill your life. If you've never done that, my encouragement is that you would give your life to Jesus Christ today. When Jesus, at the end of his ministry, was talking to his disciples, and it was a commission to his disciples, but then also to all the believers, he said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You are not alone. Let's pray. Father, I am so honored to be here today, God, and to see where you've brought me, to see that, God, you've never left me. And like David said in that psalm, I feel like you're holding my hand, like a dad holds a little kid's hand. Lord, and I feel like more often than not, I'm grabbing for it all the time. And you're always there. But Lord, my prayer today is that everybody that hears this message would know that you are there wanting a relationship with them. And that those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ will never be alone. They may feel alone at times, God, but you promise that they're never alone. Father, we love you. We thank you for your moms, for our moms, God. We thank you for the body of believers that you've made available to us, for the people of Christ, and we thank you for your promises. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Kent Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcities.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.